We've been asking you to get in contact with us about what annoys you when you're out on the roads, and also your predictions for this afternoon's big match in Croke Park. 086 77 00 555. Keep them coming. You can call us on 074 91 25000. This texter says, plain and simple, people using mobiles while driving drives me mad. What I always said, it's not amusing because it's so serious, but you do see it quite often, is people holding their phone. It's clearly on speaker, about a foot from their face. I think in some way they think they are complying with the law or what have you, but it's not up to their ear. They're holding it on speaker in their hand whilst driving, about 2 feet, 1 foot, 2 foot away from the face. That doesn't count, guys. That's still breaking the law. In relation to your predictions for the Donegal game, James Hemish in Malin Head, Donegal 2-8, Armagh a goal and 5 points. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Another texter says, well, I can say when the boys from the County Armagh meet the men from Donegal, sparks will fly, and the end result, Donegal 2-11, Armagh 1-12. And that comes in from Kathleen Grant. Keep them coming. I'll keep them to one side. And next week on the programme, we'll see who was closest. Everyone's going for a Donegal win so far. So that's so far so good. Now, also earlier on, Shannon and Samantha Buchanan, they're 18 today. We've been asked to wish them a very happy birthday from all the family. And they wanted to hear Garth Brooks.
Call them cool, those hearts that have no scars to show, the ones that never do let go and risk the tables being turned. We call them fools who have to dance within the flame, who chance the sorrow and the shame that always comes with getting burned. But you've got to be tough when consumed by desire, 'cause it's not enough just to stand outside the fire. We call them strong, those who can face this world alone, who seem to get by on their own, those who will never take the fall. We call them weak, who are unable to resist the slightest chance love might exist, and for that forsake it all. They're so hell-bent on giving, walking a wire, convinced it's not living if you stand outside the fire. Standing outside the fire. Standing outside the fire. Life is not tried, it is merely survived if you're standing outside the fire. Soul constantly yearning to get out of control, wanting to fly higher and higher. I can't abide standing outside the fire. Standing outside the
Okay, there was Garth Brooks. Now, we learnt yesterday that despite it being the peak of the tourist season, one of the country or the county's biggest attractions is set to close, or at least be partially restricted. Donegal County Council says that in the interest of public safety, access onto the walking trail on Slieve League will be closed during the week commencing Monday. That's the day after tomorrow. The council says the closure is to allow the delivery of stone by helicopter to carry out works to repair the existing trail. Local Deputy Thomas Pringle joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Thomas.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, those not familiar with the exact layout of the trail and what have you, I mean, the council today seem to be playing it down somewhat and say there will be some access. But, I mean, if you're a tourist, you don't know what's closed, what's not closed. It doesn't seem to make an awful lot of sense to an awful lot of people that we are tampering in any way with Slieve League in the middle of what's already an incredibly short tourist season. What's your feelings?
That's right, Greg. You know, in Donegal, the tourist season, you're lucky if you get 6 or 8 weeks out of it altogether. And, you know, and you're lucky then, doubly lucky if you get the weather on top of it, that a tourist can get out and about. And really to close the walk on Sleeve League for a week and what should be the peak time for tourism in the area is nonsensical as far as I can make out on the council's behalf. They could have waited another 2 or 3 weeks till the middle of September when the weather generally wouldn't be much different, and there certainly would be a lot less tourists about and a lot less people expecting as many tourists as possible around to do this work, and it would have had a lot less disruption.
And you talk about the council, I'm not sure who the buck actually stops with, but we know that Fáilte Ireland are part funding this. As a tourism body, you think they perhaps would have tried to exercise some influence as to when this work would be carried out?
You would think so, Greg. I mean, there's no doubt that work has to be done to improve the facilities and improve access for tourists and to encourage tourism development around the county. But the timing of the work has to be called into question. I mean, you just don't carry it out unless it's absolutely unavoidable within the peak tourism season. And I'm sure Fáilte Ireland wouldn't have expected that this work would be carried out in the middle of August as well. Donegal County Council have received the funding from Fáilte Ireland and are doing the work on their behalf. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense at all. What should be done is to cause as little disruption as possible, wait another 3 or 4 weeks, and then the impact won't be nearly as great.
And in reality, you know, we know what weather, how weather can change, especially at altitude. I mean, the work is due to start on Monday, but if we get very inclement weather, say Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, and it's hypothetical, but these things do happen, the work could go well on beyond a week.
That's right, it could extend again. I mean, the mist and clouds can close in fairly quickly on the top of Sleeve League, which also would impact on tourists using Sleeve League as well, which would leave it unsafe. You know, so that could extend on. But, you know, when tourists come approaching it and see that maybe signs saying that the walk is closed, they might just turn around and go away again rather than actually realising that the car park at the top of Bunglass is still available to people and still open, but the tourists won't understand that because they won't be totally familiar with the area and with the facilities that are there.
So is it too late? Are we going to have to swallow this pill, or are you calling on the council or whomever maybe have influence to defer this for the couple of weeks till the end of this, as you mentioned, short tourist season?
Yeah, I would ask the council to defer it until the middle of September to carry out the work and do it that way and ensure that there's at least a little disruption as possible. And I've no doubt that the work will be able to be carried out in September just as easily as it would be now. And it would make far more sense.
And is that the sense you're getting, Thomas? I don't know how many people you've been speaking to about this, or even maybe tourism providers. And I understand if you haven't, because we only learnt yesterday. But are you getting any feedback off people as to what they think of this plan?
Well, I know from talking to people previously in this area, they'd throw their eyes up to heaven and say, well, that's the council. That's the time that they picked to do these things, you know, and there doesn't seem to be much thought put into it at all. And that would be the feeling locally and the feeling in the area. And I know that people in the area are annoyed about this and would be annoyed that at the timing of the work, they want to see the development taking place and they want to see Sleeve League numbers grow and develop the area. But the timing just doesn't make any sense to anybody.
OK, well, Deputy Thomas Pringle, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thanks, Greg.
OK, Deputy Thomas Pringle there. If you have a say on that or anything we've been talking about so far, lots of you venting your frustration about what we see out and about on the roads and also your predictions for the Donegal Armagh game coming in thick and strong. Brendan Kilcoyne, who has been part of our commentary team throughout Donegal's successful campaign in Ulster, he's in Croke Park. He'll be speaking to us between now and 12 to get his take on how we think it's going to go. 086 77 00 555 is that text number, and you can call us too on 0749125000, or if you want to tweet me, it's at Greg Hughes 2, and that's the number 2 rather than the word, at Greg Hughes 2 if you're on Twitter. And finally on Facebook too, you can contact us there as well. It's /Highland Hub, facebook.com/Highland Hub. Back with more after the break. And And you're very welcome back. Okay, now talking football. GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Championships 2014 quarter-finals. It's, of course, Donegal versus Armagh. And also after that, another interesting game, actually, Dublin versus Monaghan. But our focus for the time being, Donegal versus Armagh. Brendan Kilcoyne, part of our big match commentary team throughout the Ulster Championship, joins us on the programme now. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Very good. It's exciting times. Before we get on to the game itself, in fairness to Jim McGuinness, he's delivering some big days for us as football fans, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Greg. Like, you have to look back and think the last 4 years have been great times if you're into Donegal GAA football at all. You know, to get to four All-Ireland quarterfinals in a row is a fantastic achievement. But, you know, that's topped by winning three Ulster championships and, you know, of course, there was the big All-Ireland in 2012. So they're great, exciting times to be a Donegal supporter. And it's great, you know, there'll be a new wave of young kids now that will want to wear the Donegal jersey in the future. So, you know, from that perspective, it's a big, big boost and a great time to be following Donegal, Greg.
Some critics, perhaps mostly outside the county, were critical of Donegal a few months back that perhaps they were looking a bit stale, a bit tired. But Jim McGuinness has managed to bring in a couple of new faces that's reinvigorated the team. Is that fair to say, do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, you look at the likes of Oren McNeilis in particular, who has been a revelation this year. He, you know, he played well throughout the league and he's up that in performances. And the last day in the Ulster final against Mon, he was superb, kicking 3 or 4 points. You have young Ryan McHugh, who has really come through too. And, you know, Mark was a loss, there's no doubt about that. But Ryan is a similar type player and is playing with great gusto at the minute. And he really has added. He's made Donegal a better team. Young Dara O'Connor from Buncrana has come in, the Jigger son that used to play with Roscommon. And, you know, I think any cornerback, you know, and particularly when you get to Croke Park, to see this little speedster coming, like, you know, he's going to strike fear into them. So, you know, Jim, and you go back to last year too, Greg, like, you know, there were issues last year in that, you know, there was probably mental fatigue, but there were also a lot of injury issues around the team. And, you know, he didn't have the pick that he had. This year, he's a full, clean bill of health. He has players, he has guys that can come in off the bench and make a difference. So it's a completely different scenario, and it's a great position to be in. And it's a testament, you know, you'd have to say, you know, you go back to 2012 and they went through the whole of August without any injury issues. And that was a big thing that got them over the line. Mm. He's in the same position now at the start of August 2014, fully fit squad. You know, and it's a great position to be in. You look at Armagh, they're carrying a couple of injuries to key players, so they're going to be a loss to them. Jim is a full squad to pick from, and, you know, that has to augur well, so it has for the month.
Do you think people expecting a explosive start to this game will be disappointed, given the fact that both teams have a reputation, at least in the early stages, of being quite defensive?
Yeah, both teams will probably set up defensively. You know, Armagh have, you know, Kieran McGeaney is in charge of them. Any team that Kieran is assistant manager to Paul Grimley, but, you know, he seems to be doing a lot of the work and he seems to have rejuvenated them this year. You're going to see, you know, Armagh getting guys behind the ball. They're going to line out with Kyle Carraher and Jamie Clark, two good inside forwards, and they'll probably withdraw number 14, Stephen Campbell, back around the middle and push back to their half forwards and that. So, you know, that would be natural enough for Armagh. You're going to expect, we know what Donegal are going to do. They're going to set up similarly, so they are probably. So it's going to be tough and it's going to be physical. The opening exchanges are going to be physical. There's going to be no quarter asked or given from either side. But again, that's what you want to be seeing, kind of thing. It's going to be intriguing. Yeah, the purists mightn't like it and they might think that they'd like to see more open football. But at the end of the day, you know, defending is a very important aspect of Gaelic football too. Mm. And both these managers are, you know, McGeaney himself was a quality centre-half back. McGuinness understands the game well and he knows what has to be done to get a team across the line. And you can only work with the kind of players you have. And if that's the system that works for you, fine, go with it.
Armagh, some would feel that they've overachieved, but they certainly have proven their worth in the All-Ireland Series.
Indeed, Greg. Like, and you know, you look at all the teams that Armagh have played this year. They beat Cavan in the first round, Cavan quarterfinalists last year, and fancied themselves to go on this year. Okay, they were beaten by Monaghan after a replay, and you know they really put it up to them. But since then, they've really grown, and they've beaten teams. You know, they've beaten Tyrone, they've beaten Roscommon, they've beaten Meath,
and they're good now, travellers too.
They're good travellers. And, you know, Greg, if you think about it, them teams that I'm after, listen there, every one of them teams would have had aspirations of making the last eight. the realistic last eight contenders, so they were. So Armagh's form and, you know, they've grown in confidence game by game, and that's what the qualifiers around the qualifiers can do for you, and particularly with the stature of team that they've beaten. So, you know, Armagh will be going into this game. They've nothing to lose because no one really, you know, outside of Armagh really fancies them to turn Donegal over today. So they're going to be going in nice and quietly, confident among themselves. You know, historically, you go back through the 2000s, and Armagh had nearly a voodoo sign over Donegal, so they had. So, you know, there'll be no fear in this Armagh team taking on Donegal today.
And I think in the years when you talked about Armagh having that superiority over Donegal, they were seen, weren't they, as an incredibly physical team, and it's almost like that has turned now in the other direction. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is, Greg, yeah. Like, you go back to that Armagh team in the 2000s, like, you have Francie Bellew at fullback, the two McNulty's, McGeaney, you know, your big Paul McGrain, then you had McConville and Stevie McDonald, and they were a strong physical team. They were very well conditioned and all that kind of thing. And maybe, and I think maybe if you're even honest with some of the Donegal players, you know, if they were honest about it, they nearly had this inferiority complex that was, when they were going in to play them. But I think that's gone now. I think the roles have been reversed, and now Donegal, you know, they've no fear of anyone physically. If anything, they would be saying, bring it on. Bring on the physical aspect of this game, because, they, you know, you look through the Donegal team. They're so well, they're so fit. They're so well conditioned. They're, you know, they've built up such experience over the last few years. And like, Greg, you go back to 2010 and you think, you know, this Armagh team really ended that Donegal team as such kind of thing. And yet, yeah, then the Jim McGuinness era and how things have changed since then, you know, and how Donegal have developed so much. Armagh did go back a bit after that, but now they've rejuvenated themselves again this year.
Do you expect any surprises tactically? Because we've already talked about how we expect both teams to line out defensively. Is there a possibility that one of the managers may try and pull a masterstroke and come out, you know, with all guns blazing very early on and perhaps catch the other out?
I don't know, Greg. I think, you know, I suppose the only thing that can be done there from that point of view is, you know, Michael Murphy has been playing a deep withdrawn role kind of thing over the last number of games. And, you know, a lot of people, myself probably included, would like to see Michael play closer to goals because you really feel that he can inflict damage there. That's not questioning what Jim's doing with them, because the style of game that Jim sets up, he needs Michael Murphy. He's such a physical presence on the field that he needs him to be part of that system out the field. So unless maybe Jim feels that maybe he can play him inside and maybe take a chance on that today. But to be honest, Greg, I don't see them deviating from their game plan too much, because, you know, to do that, it means big changes. And as the man says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. And Donegal's system has been working very well this year. They've been containing teams early in games, blowing them away in a 15-20 minute quarter, you know, a second, third quarter, and then containment again. And it's been working for them.
Everyone's been talking about, and the players be questioned about, you know, Donegal versus Dublin in the next round. Obviously, Donegal going in with the favourites tags today. Just in your experience dealing with players and what have you, is there any danger that perhaps, you know, people could be looking past Armagh to the detriment of perhaps the game itself?
That's a fear. And, you know, I think a lot of that talk is coming from supporters and maybe media analysts and that kind of thing. And it's not the kind of talk that I would like, but I would sort of be fairly confident. Jim McGuinness is so meticulous in his preparation that he will leave no stone unturned, and he won't be looking beyond today. And he will transfer that focus, I suppose you could call it, to his players. One job, one day, and then we'll let other things concern us on the way home kind of thing. But, you know, I think this team is too experienced to fall into a trap like that. Of course, you know, you're listening to people and they're talking, and you were reading during the week about the potential for a Donegal-Dublin semi-final, and there's no doubt that it would be intriguing, the contrast in styles. But I think this Donegal team are past that. I think they're more mature than that. I think they will be totally focused on the job in hand today.
Well, we know some of the national pundits, because it's an old Ulster game, will probably have already written their criticisms regardless of the match. Do you see anything other than a Donegal win today?
Yeah, you know, Greg, I think you have to fancy Donegal. As we discussed earlier, they're in a far better place this year than they were this time last year. So you would have to fancy Donegal will have too much for Armagh today. Now, you know, listen, we're going up. You're going up to Croke Park, All Ireland quarter final. Anything can happen, and you know, games. We went up last year, probably more in hope than confidence maybe against Mayo, but we certainly, Donegal, no Donegal person expected to be turned around to the degree that they were turned around. But I think this team is in a far, far better place, and I would expect them to come through with maybe 4 or 5 points to spare, Greg.
And in the setting, you know, I know it's a different opposition, but I presume the players have in the back of the mind avenging that performance too.
The performance from last year, I would imagine so, yeah, because, you know, you speak to them and you read about it and you can see that it still rankles and it still hurts with them. You know, to be All-Ireland champions and to get that side sort of hammering, it's not nice. It's not nice to be on the field. It's not nice to be involved with the team, and they'll really want to get back on the horse again today in Croke Park in a big game.
I'll ask you briefly, if you don't mind, too, Brendan, the second game, Dublin versus Monaghan. You know, Monaghan have performed quite well this season. The bookies, perhaps unfairly, have Dublin 16-1 on. That's doing Monaghan a disservice, is it?
Yeah, I think it certainly is, like, you know, but, you know, again, the bookies seldom get it wrong. At the same time, I don't see, the, you know, that them type odds are ridiculous in a two-horse race. You can see Monaghan going out. You know, Monaghan had a tough game last weekend against Kildare. They had to play extra time. Picked up a couple of knocks.
On a wet pitch as well.
On a wet pitch, picked up a couple of knocks. But, like, what I think you're going to see today is, you know, Monaghan getting very defensive against Dublin early on, trying to frustrate them. But, like, you look at the Dubs and the power and the pace and what they can bring in from the bench, and you would expect that while Monaghan may stay with them for 40, 50 minutes, fatigue would probably set in with the Monaghan players then, and then Dublin have the key men that they can bring on to really twist the knife in them.
And you'd fear for Monaghan too, if they play very deep and Dublin start knocking over scores from distance, that could open the floodgates.
Absolutely, and, you know, Dublin have the potential to get scores from all positions. You know, they'll run at Monaghan from all angles. But this Monaghan team, tough physical team, big test for them again today, you know, on the back of, you know, okay, they lost the Ulster final and they would be very disappointed with the performance that day, because, to be fair, Donegal were well, far and away a better team on the day. But, you know, they showed a bit of composure to come back and beat Kildare last week. And, you know, no one's expecting that from them today. So similar to Armagh, they're going to go into the game and say, right, lads, let's get this a good, honest shot and see where it takes us. But all that said, Greg, like, you have to fancy the Dubs to come through.
Yeah, indeed. And listen, I'm not going to jinx it by talking about Donegal Dublin. We've a lot of work to do between now and then. Brendan, enjoy the game. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a fantastic spectacle. I hope, as a fan, you know, maybe it might not please the purists on the pitch itself, but sure, as fans, it's the results that count, isn't it?
At the end of the day, the final score is all that matters, as Donegal people will be coming down the road and then they can start thinking about what's going to happen on the 30th or the 31st of August. And, you know, the minors are there already, Greg. Wouldn't it be fantastic if the seniors did make it? Doubleheader up in Croke Park, you know, full house. It would be really fantastic. But we'll talk about that and we'll think about that on the way home.
Okay, listen, Brendan Kilcoyne, enjoy the game. Thank you so much and safe onward journey.
Thanks, Greg. Good to talk to you.
Okay, that's Brendan Kilcoyne there. The game throws in at 4. The build-up, of course, starts on the Saturday Sports Show, Highland Saturday Sport, from 2 o'clock. But Oisin Kelly, Martin McHugh will start the build-up right in earnest, live from Croke Park from 3:30, and full match commentary. And don't forget to let your friends and family right across the world know that they can listen to the game online for absolute free at highlandradio.com, or even if they haven't yet downloaded the app for Android devices, go to the Play Store, or for your Apple devices, go to the I haven't had an Apple device in so long. It's called the Apple Store, iStore. Anyway, you'll know if you have one. And download that and you can listen to it on the move. And once again, the app is absolutely free. Of course, if you're out and about, there may be some data charges, but you'll understand that yourself. So hopefully afterwards, we're going to be talking about a victory. It's all to come here throughout today. Now, we've had loads of you texting in your predictions for the game. Keep them coming. 086 77 00 555. You can call us on 074 91 25000. The Strendhall Festival of Art continues in Limavady, indeed on the outskirts of Limavady, and one of the top artists performing indeed this evening is Paddy Casey, and he joins me on the programme now. Paddy, a very good afternoon, or very good morning to you.
Hello, Harry.
Very good. Nice to speak to you. Has it been a busy summer for you, Paddy?
Yeah, pretty busy. Yeah, I've been away a bit. I've been in Australia. I've been playing a lot of gigs here, I suppose. I put out a new single, so
that's Out of Control, isn't it? Tell us a bit about that. How's it been received? It's been out a couple of weeks now.
It's going all right. I mean, it's definitely getting some play. So that's nice, you know. But it's too early to know, you know. I think it takes about a month before you know anything, you know.
It's a collaboration with Kim Hayden, as many would see her as most people would know her, I should say, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, as a reality show contestant. Did you have any issue in that, or do you have any issue with that whole concept of reality TV and how people get into the music scene?
I don't think I really like it. I think it's, you know, I think behind the scenes it's very, it's fairly shallow. I mean, I don't think they end up with the prize they're supposed to get and stuff. Like, for all them shows, you know, I think they end up kind of with a bad deal, you know, at the end of it. But no, I don't hate it or anything. I just, you know.
And how did you end up teaming with Kim on this new single?
We just started talking. Well, I sent her a message because she was in one of the finals or the semifinals, and she got knocked out. And I just sent her a message saying, what was it? Commiserations or whatever. You shouldn't have been knocked out or something. I can't remember what it was, to be honest with you. But
you reached out, suffice to say, and here we are.
But I've done that. I do that all the time. Anytime I think someone's good, and I'm because I don't watch them very often, but sometimes I catch the odd one, you know. To be honest with you, I think they're all very talented. I don't think anyone who gets, you know.
It's part of the problem is that we do have so much talent, and many people will tell you it can be really hard to get airplay, and even perhaps some people perhaps sell out to themselves and enter some of these programs to try and get that exposure and try and realize that dream.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, you know. I mean, it's definitely a fast track, you know, but I think, do you know what I mean? I think most of the kids that are on it or whatever are really good singers, you know, most of the time, you know. I mean, they're definitely better than a lot of people I know who are, you know, who are making a living or whatever.
I don't know
they're
if that's
definitely they're just really good singers.
It's hard,
you know?
To know if that's a compliment or not. You're gonna upset someone one way or the other with that comment.
I know, it doesn't matter.
You have
I don't
to
think
be
I, all of us know we're not great singers, you know.
In terms of your own performances, what is the buzz for you? You obviously you release singles and that's part of it, and albums, but the playing live aspect of it, is that really what you enjoy the most?
I enjoy recording and the playing live the most. Everything else is just part of the parcel, you know. I think the recording is great because it's amazing, you know, the feeling you get from having nothing and then having something brand new, you know. And the gigs when they're going well are brilliant, you know. I mean, there's nothing better, you know?
What can people look forward to hearing from you at the Stendhal Festival?
In Stendhal, well, I suppose it's short and sweet. It's not going to be a long set, so I think I kind of just stick to the ones that people know and a couple of maybe I don't know a couple of maybe in something new.
All right,
like
well,
a new song. So.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good opportunity to hear that live. That's out of control.
Yeah, no, it's always good to throw a new one in.
Excellent.
Time, yeah.
All right, well, Paddy Casey, thanks so much for joining us on the program, and we wish you the best of luck.
All right, thanks very much.
Bye.
Well, anyone can lose it all. Well, anyone can lose it all. And you don't heed your warning's call. Well, anyone can lose it all. Well, anyone can make a mess. Yeah, anyone can make a mess. Just take so much and make it less. Well, you got time and streets making saints and sinners. Lincoln sheets making losers and winners. Let's know what your dreams should be. Well, anyone can be a saint. Well, anyone can be a saint. And you just forget that you ain't. We can go and be a saint.
star. Well, anyone can be a star. Well, just get in your car. We can go and be a star. When you got time. You know, I wish we'd had more time. You know, I think it was a crime. The things we'd waste, trying not to waste our time. You got time and streets making saints and sinners.
And that was Paddy Casey singing Saints and Sinners, sounding a bit more lively than he did during the course of the interview, but that's artists sometimes for you, isn't it? Hugo Boyce, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing?
Fantastic and great to speak to you. How are you?
Knackers.
Are you? Tell us why.
Well, with the big 47th Tumani Festival on at the moment, and we're all hard at it, so we're having big crowds. And
it's going well, is it?
Late nights and early mornings won't agree with me.
Now, this is not exactly...
Agree with me.
I was going to say, this is not exactly ideal preparation, because you are taking part in a major championship. Which one is it, Hugo?
Well, we're in the transplant games. There's about 30 Irish transplant patients going to Krakow in Poland, and flying out on Saturday.
That's next Saturday?
Yeah, next Saturday.
And tell us about the transplant games. Oh, I tell you what, first of all, Hugo, for those who may not have heard you on with us before, tell us why you qualify to take part in these games.
Well, I'm transplanted now. I'm one of the longest transplants in Donegal. I got a kidney transplant 26 years ago. And touch wood, everything's going well. And I'm the longest in Donegal. I'm happy. There's another fella from Melton going with us as well, Kevin Murray.
Kieran Murray, isn't it?
Kieran, sorry. Yeah. Kieran. And looking forward to meeting him and meeting all the gang out there as well. I had my first transplant games was in Canada in 2005. That was the World Transplant Games, and I got a gold medal there for lawn bowls, you know. And then I went then to Germany the year after that. I didn't do anything there. Didn't win a medal there. And then I went on then in Thailand. I got a medal for French bowls, a gold medal for French bowls, which is it's Patong was called, you know, but it's a style of French bowls. It's wee steel bowls that you throw.
Now, just to mention for Kieran, of course, he's representing Transplant Team Ireland. His events at the European Games are field ball throw, golf, 5K race, 800-metre race, and 4x100-metre race. And we wish Kieran the best of luck and the rest of the team as well. Hugo, this time, what are you taking part in?
I'm doing 10-pin bowling and the Patong, which is the French bowl. I'm not doing golf because I'm 65 next week as well, and I don't carry a golf bag with me, and it's very warm out there in Krakow as well, so I decided the composition as well might be too stuff for me now, coming to 65, you know.
And give us a sense of what these games are like. You've been to a few of them now. What are the crowds like? Is it seen as a big deal? Just to set the scene for us of what you're expecting in Krakow.
Well, the European games are not as big as the world games, but it's a big deal for the people going. We meet all our friends from all over Europe, Russia, all the different countries that go there. You're talking about maybe approximately 500-600 different people taking part from all over Europe. And we have good camaraderie, and then it's parts from all the games and all that. That part of it, we have a good sing-song and relationship, and we swap badges and all that.
And we'll focus on the European Games. And, is it incredibly competitive, or is it social? Is it a mix? I presume it depends on the individual, but everyone's going out there to win, there's no doubt, I'm sure.
Very competitive, but also a lot of people go for the social end and meeting friends end of it, you know. They wouldn't be as competitive, you know. I'd be more on that end now than some of the other boys that, you know, here now would be competitive, and that's very competitive, you know. I think the older you get, you go for the social end of it more.
So you're going from the Clonmany Festival to Krakow. It's one long party.
But you're still hoping to come back with a medal, you know, some kind.
26 years after your transplant, Hugo, how is your health? I mean, you mentioned that you're 65. Are you has the transplant seen you to be as you'd expect to be at 65, or?
The things that got keep you going, I think.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the transplant games, and then looking forward to even being involved in the festival. I'm involved for 47 years and hoping to make it to the 50, and they keep telling me if I'm not here for the 50 to take me up for it. But I really look forward to going to the games, and the whole thing is promoting the idea of carrying an organ donor card. That's what we really want people to get onto their heads, that people have to see the likes of Kieran and myself and other ones that were able to do this, that they'd say, well, God, we should carry it out of an organ card rather than organs not being used, you know, if something happens, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to conclude with, because that really is the important message. Hugo, there's been a big campaign to try and get it as to be an opt-out system, whereas you know everybody effectively consents to organ donation unless they request otherwise. Is that something you would support?
I don't think people should be forced into it. You know, I think my saying is always, God knows there's enough organs in heaven. You know, But I think at the same time it should be down to everybody. But if everybody carries an organ donor card to solve the problem, you see, if you want to, and you carry the card, that would. It's an issue now that needs more talk on, I think, you know.
And the truth is, and the really serious aspect of this is, 26 years on, Hugo, you're here, you're out representing Ireland in these games, you're talking about your life and how you're enjoying the festival, and it was someone's, passing, I believe in your case, is that the case, that it was a gift that has given you this quarter of a decade?
Yeah, yeah.
And I presume you think about that person regularly, do you?
On our anniversary, you'd always, sometimes you'd write to the coordinator. Like, I'm not allowed to contact people directly, even though I found out by accident who it was. We're not allowed to contact them, and then we just send letters or cards, masks or whatever you want to do through a coordinator to the family, you know.
It's a fantastic gift.
I would dearly love to meet the family and thank them personally, you know, but... It's not the system in Ireland, you know.
One of the major issues with those people that are good enough to carry organ cards is not making their wishes expressly clear to their family. So if you are going to carry a card, if you want to do that, isn't that hugely important, Hugo?
Yeah, it's not just good enough to carry a card, because a lot of times maybe if you have an accident, you don't have the card on you, or your wallet someplace else, or, you know, and a lot of women especially don't carry the cards all the time with them, you know, and the card could be in your house and people wouldn't know it, and once you're dead, you know, the organs are no good then, you know.
Yeah. Well, Hugo, listen, I mean, as you say, you know, that's the real message here, that we all, if it's our will, if we're interested in doing that, not everyone is, but that we could carry a transplant card, and then if the worst were to happen to us, we can help so many other people, because it's not just a single organ.
Yeah, so, no, you've got all the different, the heart can be used, the eyes, I think it's 7 different organs that can be used. And if I'm wrong saying that, but there's a lot of organs that can help to save people, even the eyes. People think that you're left with no eyes, that's not the way it is, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of organs in use, and I'd love people to carry a donor card. That's my whole aim of the thing. It's the publicity we get. We can keep mentioning that the main thing is that people should carry an organ donor card.
Hi, Hugo. I did a book sale in Burt and met Vienna White and David McCauley, and we have out our donor cards. That comes in from Kathleen Grant.
And, Kathleen up there in Burt, yeah.
Yeah, and a few other people sending in best wishes in the games, and best of luck to both you and our own Kieran Murray as well. Hugo, you'll survive the festival, and look forward to the flight out to Poland on next Saturday, and we wish you the very, very best of luck, and thank you so much for coming on and talking with us this morning.
Greg, thanks very much, and I heard that you mentioned Vivian White there. Vivian is a transplant patient herself and has been to games and has got a gold medal in different sports. So Vivian all the best, even though she's not going this year.
Thank you so much, Hugo. Have a fantastic weekend, and best of luck again in Krakow.
Greg, thanks very much. Hope you come up to the festival as well.
If I could fit it in, I would, Hugo. Listen, thanks so much. Many people are indeed going along to the festival. Now, just to some of your calls and comments coming in. We were talking about the floods. This caller says, this is to do with those out there driving. What annoys people? The yellow box. We're getting tons of people commenting on the yellow box. Don't go in the yellow box if you're going to be stuck in there. Texter says, at the bottom of the Gortley Road, there are traffic lights and a yellow box. My understanding is if you do not enter a box unless you have free exit, you take your life in your hands at that junction. And despite the lights being red, a huge amount of people come straight on. I have to use it several times a day, and it's a nightmare. Roisin, I feel your pain. Thank you. Cannot stand drivers who do not use their indicators and who drive too close to the back of my car, tailgating. What an annoyance there. I travel by bus a lot, says this texter, and I'm amazed by drivers who see buses coming but pull out of side roads, etc., at the last minute, right into the path of the bus, says another there. Now, never mind public sector workers, reduced wages, says this caller. What about workers on $8.65 an hour? Nothing said about them. Yeah, and I think we kind of touched on that point, but it's the private versus public sector, isn't it? People driving with one headlight. This is a major gripe of mine, just one headlight. And prediction from Maurice O'Donnell from Falkara on Donegal's game. A 6-point margin Morris is going for. Donegal 110, Armagh 7 points. Would we not take half a point if such a thing existed? Now, a black and white collie dog has been found in Buncrana with black collar and with silver. It looks like bones. It's not going to be bones, is it? But if you've missing a black and white collie dog found in Buncrana, it's got a black collar on, give us a call here. We found your dog. For Alex Moore, Meadowview, Letterkenny, happy third birthday coming in from Granny Olive, Granda, Billy and Uncle Robert. Deborah Harkin and David Cafferkey, who are getting married today. Best wishes from Charlie and Anne-Marie O'Kane and family in Trenta. Alex Moore in Lurkey Brack in Letterkenny, happy birthday to you. Three today, the big three today for Alex. This comes in from Uncle Ernie, Auntie Donna, Laura, Olivia and Hannah. Please say good luck to Pat Anthony Ward, heading to Offaly to take part in a 5K race from all your friends and neighbours in Cadhu. Best of luck to you there. And final one to announce for the moment. A black, white, brown collie dog's been found in the Carrigart area. The dog appears to have gone missing on Wednesday evening. The dog seems to be a young dog, is friendly and seems used to children. The dog seems to be very well looked after, and we think there is someone out there looking for their pet. You can contact us here at the radio station. We'll put you in contact with the person who found this dog. It's a black, white, brown collie found in the Carrigart area. Eddie joins us now on line two. Eddie, a very good morning to you. Eddie Connolly.
Morning.
Very, very good. And we're talking about your daughter, Hannah. There's a lovely feature in the paper today on Hannah. And also, I saw your brother shared a link on Twitter and Facebook there. Hannah's had a very special week. Take us back, though, to her first encounter with the people she met. 2009, is it?
2009, yeah. November 2009, Hannah was born. And unbeknown to us, she had a heart condition. And she was airlifted the following day to Crumlin by the Irish Air Corps. So we were told in no uncertain terms that she had to get to Crumlin quick. And thankfully, the Air Corps came on board and helped us out.
And this was one of those cases that an ambulance journey would have not been advantageous. I mean, the helicopter, this service was a lifesaver.
This really was. The ambulance would have been the last resort, yeah. But I don't think it would have been a good outcome.
So how long did Hannah spend in Crumlin?
Hannah was up there for approximately 3.5 weeks. Mm. She got out again just before Christmas. But the basically what we're on today highlighting is the Air Corps, because we don't think they get enough publicity and thanks, and that's why we paid a wee visit to Baldonald during the week to thank them personally.
And did you, sounds like a silly question, Eddie, did you phone up in advance or just land down? Or
no, we got a letter of invitation the time Hannah was born.
Right.
When she was in ICU in Crumlin, they left in a Air Corps teddy bear and an invitation letter to come and visit when she was better. So we got in contact then with Brendan O'Dowd in the Air Corps, and he organised a visit for us during the week.
And tell us about it. Was Hannah excited? I presume Mum and Dad have been telling her all about, you know, how special it was when she was born and getting this lift in the helicopter. So she'd have understood what it all meant, wouldn't she?
She did, yeah. And she was excited to go and see, as she called them, the helicopter boys. So, we got met there with Sergeant Jimmy Hales, and he showed us around, and we got meeting with the actual crew, the captain, Finbar McArdle, and his co-pilot, Michael Noonan, and the airman, Dave Tiernan. And to be honest, I think they were more excited than what Hannah was to see her.
Mm.
They were so thankful to actually see a good result.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because I suppose a lot of it is, and not all of it, but it's thankless. And then you see, you know, the life-saving work you see, and to get meet Hannah there in person, it must be a great lift for those guys as well.
Absolutely. They were overjoyed now, and she got a full tour then of the whole museum and the helicopters, and she got some nice photos with the actual crew themselves. So,
and the pictures.
Something to keep for the future.
Yeah, I was going to say the pictures to last a lifetime, and I suppose you got to see a few helicopters yourself as well, did you?
Oh, I think boys' toys, eh?
Exactly, yes, there's to be something in it for us as well. Listen, it's a fantastic story. It's in the papers today. It's on Facebook as well and on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Hannah looks so happy, and the guys look really delighted to have met her. And thanks so much for sharing the story with us, Eddie. It's really appreciated.
No problem, Greg. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. That's all we have time for in this edition of the Weekend Edition. My thanks to each and every one of you who kept us really busy on the phone lines and text lines today, and all our contributors, and also especially to Yvonne McFadden, who produced the programme. That's all for now. PO's on the way. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.